Hi, I'm Emmanuel, and welcome to It's Not That Hard, your weekly podcast, talking everything about entrepreneurship, running a business, customer service, and everything in between. Running a business is a difficult thing to do, but at the same time, it also shouldn't be that hard. I hope you enjoy. Hi, this is Emmanuel, and welcome to It's Not That Hard. This is actually take two of this week's podcast. Because we lost the first one. So here we are again. I really hope it's just or as organic as the first one was. The first one was pretty good. I wish you all could have heard it. Anyway, so I'm here with my wife, Anda.
Hello.
And we're also here with a special guest, Jessica Lanier.
Hello.
She's here. She's with healthpatriot.com. That's health-patriot.com. She's an entrepreneur slash mother slash wife slash RN slash... What else are you?
I think you covered the big one.
Superhero. I mean, you know, all mothers and wives are superheroes. So, point. Thank you. So if you want to learn more about Jessica's journey, it's on health-patriot.com. She's also, you're a certified...
Holistic health coach.
Certified holistic health coach. So if you're looking for that route, which I think everybody should be looking to that route to help any health issues, and you can check out what she has to offer at health-patriot.com. So it's kind of going back to where we were. We're going to talk to Jessica about her reinventions. This week's theme is reinventing, because I think that reinventions happen on a daily basis. Anda was saying that she feels like she's also in a constant reinvention
mode.
Mm-hmm. So they can be drastic life changes that reinvent who you are and what your future holds. It can be something small where you reinvent something little in your business, something big. I personally reinvented myself multiple times, going from civilian life to service life to civilian life again. Those are interesting reinventions, because you're so used to being in the service, then you're thrown out in the street as a civilian. You're not told when to wake up and what to eat and what to wear. So that's kind of stressful. So shout out to all my veterans out there who know how to navigate the reinvention of becoming a civilian again. It can be difficult. So we're here with Jessica. We're going to talk to her about her reinventions and her journey that she's had. She's had an interesting journey from childhood to adult life. She has two... beautiful little boys. One's 2.5 and one's 5 months. We have a 3-year-old, so we... Good luck. That's all I'm going to say.
You.
Yeah, so when you have both those guys running around, good luck. So, and we're also... Jessica's going to say this word.
Parentpreneur.
We're those. So entrepreneurs that are also parents. And that's another thing. Another shout out to the parents who are entrepreneurs. Holy cow, running a business is... difficult. Being a parent is difficult, but it's possible.
I think we said we're superheroes and we're also crazy.
Yeah, I think it takes a certain kind of crazy to want to have a baby business that's a baby and also a baby. Right. So both need to be nurtured, both grow. Got to keep both of them alive. So I guess we're doing good on all those avenues. So Anda, real quick, give me something on reinventing. Like, what are your thoughts on reinvention?
Well, I think reinvention starts with the mental shift, right? And the rest is just execution of your new thought process, right? So, you know, we were talking about earlier about a picture before and after. If you look back and 10 years back and you see the exact same face, you see the same life, you see the same, nothing changes, then you probably haven't progressed much. You're probably in the same place you were 10 years ago. You want to look back and say, oh my God, I was a little chunky, or oh my God, I used to party a lot, or oh my, I don't know.
I look back and say, oh my God, look how much hair I had.
You want to look back and you want to see progress. I look back and say, wow, I had a really, really easy life.
This is the second time you brought this up in our podcast. I'm beginning to think I ruined something good.
She's now a parentpreneur.
No, yes. No, but it's true. If I look back before I met you, I had my corporate job and I had friends and I partied a lot and I loved my shopping. I was, typical girl.
You don't like shopping in Trader Joe's anymore?
I love, yes, yeah. That's Saturday night, family time. So I look back, I'm not that person anymore. I don't even think I could be that person anymore. I wouldn't know what to do with myself with spare time. Like, I have no idea. I don't know what it means anymore to come home from work and not have something to do.
More work,
yeah. Right. So that's reinvention.
That's reinvention for you?
Well, a lot more has happened
with a little
since,
help
but
from
this
me.
Is not about me.
Right, yeah.
But yes, it's all about, yes. It's all because of you.
That's funny. Thank you. All right, so let's
point
jump in.
That.
Yeah, point out. We're even.
It's not a competition.
So let's go ahead and jump into Jessica's story. She has a really interesting and inspirational story starting back to when she was 11 years old. And it she went through something that helped mold who she is today. Everybody goes through different situations, different things in life that changes who they are. And this was big. So it was something that was big that was able to help her. I won't say help her, but kind of just bring out who she really was. Because I think that sometimes all of us are something. And there's our little guy coughing. All of us are something. We have something inside of us. But we can't. Sometimes it takes something to take it out. So Jessica went through something. Yeah, Cruz. Oh, look at the lion. That's so cool. And that's being a parent.
Preneur.
There you go.
You'll get that by the end of this podcast.
Yeah, that's real life, everybody. Real life. All right, buddy. Close the door. Thanks. So Jessica was able to, she went through the situation, and I think it just brought out what was really inside. And I think a lot of people... whether it's a traumatic experience or a good, whatever experience happens, some people just, I don't want to say aren't lucky, but, something never happens but brings it out. So mm-hmm. they're kind of just stuck, right? And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, are stuck with something inside that just never comes out. So the situation that you went through was something that brought out your passion, mm-hmm. Which, the long term has been great for you. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead. Just go ahead and give me some of your story.
Okay. So like Emmanuel said, starting back to when I was 11, that's kind of looking back at my life, the first monumental time or moment where I had to, I guess, reinvent myself, even though I didn't even know what that meant at the time. But so on my 11th birthday, my dad took me to softball practice. It was an hour away, and he decided to make it special. So he took me on his motorcycle, and we went and had a special dinner, and it was a great time. And then on the way back, we were hit head-on by a drunk driver. And I had said before, like, this is a very heavy story for just a few seconds, but I'll give you basically the snapshots of what had happened. We were both medified to individual trauma centers, and I was in a coma and on life support for a week, and my entire left leg was smashed completely, and I had broken my femur in 5 different places and shattered both bones in my shin. And I eventually, obviously, came out of it. My dad, on the other hand, he started coming out of his coma about 2 weeks later. And due to some complications, he ended up passing away. And so this time in my life was it was a game changer. I had to decide who I wanted to become. And I didn't even know what that meant at 11 years old, because who does? Like, no 11-year-old kid thinks about these things.
Right, yeah.
So that was a big moment in my life, and I thankfully I feel like God gave me the grace and courage and perspective that I needed at the time to not let that define me as a victim, but it was a beginning of me being an overcomer at the time.
Right. And traumatic experience for sure. And like you said, you came out of it much stronger through your faith. Faith, I think, plays a big role in everybody's life. I said before, you know, whether you're, whatever your faith is, like, good for you. As long as you have one and you have something that can, you can look up to or pull you out of certain situations, that's huge. Because if you, let's say you don't have family or you don't have somebody to talk to, you know, if all you have is your faith, that's all you have. And it's obviously something more powerful than all of us. So at this point in your life, when you have experienced this, Anda had asked the question, like, is this where you started to find out? That's a great lion, buddy. Thank you. All right. So at this point in your life, was this when you started to decide health, the health industry was where you wanted to go?
Definitely, I would say the first time that I thought about it, because in the past, I feel like as a kid, your teacher, your parents ask you what you want to be when you grow up, and you're like, I want to be an artist and an astronaut. Like,
right, yeah.
You know, like we think about these things that we see on TV or whatever, but this was the first time that I realized I liked the medical field, and I became passionate about it. I was in a hospital bed at home from about 3 weeks after the motorcycle accident, and I had severe injuries, so I had a nurse come to my house every day and do dressing changes on my leg. I had 48 staples in my thigh, and I had 4 external rods sticking out of my shin. And so there was a lot of like dressing changes that had to happen every day, and I used to beg them to let me do it. And that's when I was like, something's different with me.
That's the second time you told us that, and we still think you're weird.
You're still cringy. Yes, I know. you know, I used to beg them to let me take out my staples, and I used to wrap my, I had 6 cousins who were all over every day, and I used to like mummify them in gauze, having no idea how expensive medical supplies are. So I knew on that aspect, I knew I really enjoyed the medical field. And then as things progressed in the story and my father passed away, we found out from the autopsy that it was from medical malpractice. And what had happened is it was 4th of July weekend, and he was 6'7". He was a huge beast of a man. And when people come out of their coma, they become a little bit agitated, and he pulled out his feeding tube. And because it was a holiday weekend, the nurse didn't call the doctor like she should have. And instead, she just put a tube back in the hole where his feeding tube was, continued the feeding, and it caused an infection called peritonitis. And that is what ended up killing him. And so after I found out about that, I decided, like, I want to do something to prevent this from happening. If I could prevent one family from going through what my family went through, then I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I also, my heart started changing that I wanted, not changing, but being molded, I think, that I wanted to be there in people's darkest times. I wanted to help them through something that changed my life forever.
Right, yeah. And I think that situation could have taken you either way.
Absolutely.
You could have gone the complete opposite way and despised the health industry and never trusted them another day of your life in a hospital.
Yeah.
So I think that you, since you decided, like you said, you molded your heart for the better. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's amazing. Okay. So after this experience, this is when you knew, okay, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I need to help people in the medical field. Mm-hmm. So then you decided at this point you wanted to go off to college to study medicine as an RN. Mm-hmm. I do have a question though. Did a doctor ever cross your mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I actually wanted to be a pediatrician.
Oh, okay.
And then I asked my pediatrician when he was not at work one day, and I ran into him. I was probably, 13 at the time. I was like, hey, I just wanted to ask you, you know, I'm thinking about being a pediatrician like you. Do you have any advice for me? He's like, yeah, don't do it. And honestly, like, this is crazy to say looking back, but that shifted everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's honestly why I didn't go to become a doctor.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why it had so much power, but
it stuck with me.
There's job security for him.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I don't need competition. You're fine.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's when I think I learned more about nursing and thought, okay, I can go this route.
Right, and then, okay, packed your bags, headed down to sunny San Diego.
Yes.
The most beautiful place on the planet. You went to college there. You got your nursing degree there.
Mm-hmm.
And then post-college, you went
to Spain.
Spain. All right. Tell us a little about that.
So, so many chapters in my life. Okay. So I loved nursing school. I love San Diego. I'm very close with my family, but I ended up falling for a Spanish basketball player who I went to college with, and we got married like 2 weeks after I graduated at Point Loma, actually. And
then you weren't wasting any time.
No. Well, I know. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we dated for like 3 years at that point, and it was one of those, like, I have to decide.
Yeah.
He was playing professional basketball.
We've all been through that.
We went. That's what happened. Yes. In our younger years.
For the professional basketball player, too.
Yes. That's what I meant by
it. You're virgin.
Yes. In my previous life as a professional basketball player. Sorry.
Yes. So I moved to Spain, and I had every intention of working there as a registered nurse, but then I realized reality hit, and the process to convert my license from America to Spain was very complicated and pretty much impossible. And so I had to figure something else out at that time.
So how many years ago? What year was this? 2000?
So I graduated college in 2009.
Okay.
And got married in 2009 and then moved straight to Spain.
Okay. So 2009, I don't think there were a lot of health coaches online.
Correct.
And I can imagine that being a challenge because typically, even in today's day, people don't trust... it's hard to build trust in an online business as a health coach, right? Typically, people want to go to a doctor or someone in their neighborhood who they can see and touch and feel.
Right.
How was that for you? I can imagine that being... I mean, you were a pioneer in 2009
for that. I know.
Right. But at this point, you had launched your online blog, which was...
Right.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So you launched an online blog.
So what had happened after I moved to Spain, I realized I couldn't work. I was especially at the end of nursing school. I really believe that if you've gone to school with anyone who's a nurse or if you've gone through nursing school, we are the most unhealthy people in college because we are always stressed out, usually not taking care of ourselves. And I was a mess. Like, my health was an absolute mess. I went to doctors and specialists, and no one could figure out what was wrong with me. I distinctly remember, I think it was my sophomore year in college, having to go get a brain scan because I thought I had a brain tumor, and, like, none of my family was down there. And I was by myself, and I'm like, what is happening? I'm in nursing school. I should know what's wrong with me. Doctors should know what's wrong with me, but... thankfully, no brain tumor, but they still didn't know.
The stress, you
there
think,
was
looking back?
Stress, looking back, stress was a huge part.
Nutrition.
And, you know, yes, and that's where I decided, that's where I learned so much through studying health, because I thought that I ate healthier, quote unquote, than anyone that I was friends with in college. I would always choose the whole wheat bread, and I would, you know, have cottage cheese and fruit, and I would eat a ton of chicken, and, you know.
Wait, that's our diet. I know. Are you saying that's not that healthy?
She said healthier.
Healthier. Yeah. Well, I didn't realize I had a lot of digestive issues and a lot of, like, I will never forget when my doctor told me, you're 19, I think he was 19 at the time, and you have the hormone levels of a 55-year-old woman. And I'm like, well, why? And, well, I don't know. Here's some birth control. Well, I don't need birth control. Well, it'll fix you. You know, that's just the mentality. And, and that's when I started realizing the difference of Western medicine versus more like the holistic natural healing approach. So in all of my experience and my own struggle with my health, that's when I started researching more natural healing.
Right,
we have the angels among us.
I know.
The wind chimes.
This welcome to Sonora, California, everybody. It is. You think it's quiet, but it is not quiet up here.
It's peaceful. Oh, I love it.
That's funny. Okay, so yeah,
was that chapter.
Right. Okay. So.
Sorry.
Those wind chimes lost my train of thought here. But
so I started a blog.
Okay, there we go. Back on the blog.
I was in Spain, realized I can't work as a nurse, had all this passion for helping people and learning how to heal my own body. I started a blog and put healthy recipes. That was when I first decided figured out I had to be gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there were not all the options we have mm-hmm. now. And so I did a lot of experimenting in the kitchen and how do I follow this gluten-free lifestyle without feeling like I'm eating cardboard, because that's what gluten-free mm-hmm. bread tasted like.
Right, yeah.
And that's where that kind of started.
Well, I think when people think of blogs, they think about people sharing free content. But I remember reading your blog, and I remember your website, and you were actually monetizing your blog. You weren't just sharing free content, right? Mm-hmm. You had built certain programs. I think they were geared particularly for women, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I was really trying to figure this whole thing out. How could I make money online? All of my customers were still from America, even though I was living in Spain. And it was a process, but and honestly, I struggled charging people. And I didn't have, because I was married at the time, like I didn't have to make money, but I wanted to. And I had a hard time because it's something I was passionate about and I was helping sick people. And so I felt really bad asking for money, mm-hmm. you know, and I've come so far in this. But I partnered with a couple holistic health practitioners and helped them create programs to help people. I had developed my own program called the Empowered Woman Project, and it was a 17-week program and very comprehensive with body, mind, and soul. And it was great information, but I feel like, you know, as we try and do these things, we realize what people need and want. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes us doing these things and figuring out this isn't going to work for the majority of people. It was too much information. Right.
Yeah. I definitely think, what year was this again? 2009, 2010?
Yeah.
So you definitely were a pioneer, I think, in that area of holistic health, online, creating programs. If you look at, you know, anything that started back then that was spread out to the masses, as far as like workout programs, Taibo, all of these things, you know, it was all very trendy, and you could tell it wasn't really going to last. Mm-hmm. But I think that the holistic health thing, since you were such a pioneer in it, it was kind of like, okay, interesting. If you take a step back and just eliminate one or two things out of your diet daily until you start to feel different or you start to feel better. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people forgot what feeling normal was.
Absolutely.
So it was like, okay, well, if I take out bread and but I feel different today.
Right.
It's like, well, that different is better.
Right.
Like that's, you know, so I think that because, you know, you started so early in this, you kind of had an upper hand as to just educating people as far as what the heck your body's going through. Because since 2009, last 8 years, there's even more stuff thrown at us.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So it just got even harder to eliminate and block and keep things out of your body that shouldn't be there. All right. So now you're in Spain.
Yeah.
You're in Spain. You're running this online blog. You're doing health coaching. Okay. Now what's the next step? I mean, your reinvention has just gone, you know, everybody goes through different chapters and reinventions in your life. And when you're a small business owner, or you're, you know, you're doing a blog, you're doing all these things. If you're really passionate about it and you're serious about it, you're going to be reinventing daily.
Oh, yeah.
And especially when you're a bit small business owner, you have that opportunity to reinvent. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not in a corporate environment where it's going to take 2 months to change one policy or one web page or something. You can reinvent, change on the spot.
Right.
So I think that's one benefit of being a small business owner is being able to change quickly and mm-hmm. adapt quickly, mm-hmm. Especially in the health industry. I'm sure health is health. You either have good health or you have bad health, right? So there's only so much you can change, but you can also adapt to, you know, just the planet, the world's changing.
Right. And theories change.
Right.
And
yeah,
research,
exactly.
You know, and like diets change. Like mm-hmm. that's one of the things I help with, because people are so confused with what health is nowadays because mm-hmm. there's so many approaches.
Right. No. Yeah. And it is confusing. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody's an expert, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think that... until you do your own personal research
and experimenting,
mm-hmm. yeah, then you can really determine who's the right person for you.
Right.
All right, so things, you're in Spain. Then you end up back in California. So that's got to be an interesting change from, you go from America to Spain and everybody's taking a siesta over there.
Yes.
And that's right, back to California, throw you back into California. What brought you back and what kind of, you know, was the light under your you know, the fire under your butt to get going here, mm-hmm. to kind of start things?
Okay, so I was reinventing so much in Spain. I actually moved back to Kansas because my husband at the time quit professional basketball, got hired on as a coach at Kansas State University. And so I went from Spain to Kansas.
Yeah, totally forgot
super,
about that.
Yeah, I got a lot of phases in here. Yeah. And then decided, okay, he didn't have an actual job. He was he was hired on as a coach assistant. So he got like a $200 stipend every month. And so it was on me to find a job. And my own business wasn't enough at that point. And so I went to interviews, and I was actually going to be hired on as a health director at Kansas State University. And then I got asked back for a second interview. And 2 days before that interview, my husband came home and said, "I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce. Not attracted to you.
Oh boy.
I'm moving out." And honestly, it was like kind of out of the blue. We hadn't, you know, it really like blindsided me. And at that point I was very stubborn. It's not like we never had problems in our marriage, because we did. But I always was very stubborn in that. And like, no, the divorce is not an option. Sorry, you're stuck with me, kind of a thing. But over about a month of me fighting and fighting and fighting for our marriage, it just was not, it became more almost emotionally abusive in a way, just because he didn't want it. And you can't make someone want to be with you, right, you know? Yeah. And so through a marriage counselor who recommended a trial separation, which we had already been separated because of he was with his family in Spain. I was in California for 4 months. Did another trial separation that ended in divorce. And so I found myself in Kansas, no family and no job, and have no idea what to do with my life. And so obviously I wasn't going to stay there. So I got out of all my lease contracts and everything and moved back home to Sonora with my family to figure out what the heck am I going to do with my life. I went from nursing school straight to Spain, and so it was really hard for me to get a nursing job because I hadn't worked in a hospital after graduation.
Right,
no. And 4.5, 5 years had passed, and so no one really wanted to hire me, and that was a struggle. Ended up going to Colorado because I got hired there. I don't even know if you guys know this
part. I have no idea. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lived in Colorado.
Wow. All right. Now you're in Colorado.
I actually, when I was moving from Kansas to California, I stopped to see my best friend at the time in Colorado, and I got a job and an apartment within 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, okay, this is where we're going. And I lived there I had to move back to California, switch over my license. Like, so much of all of this was adaptation and just going with it. Honestly, probably one of the most powerful life lessons I learned through my divorce was we all have stuff coming at us. Like, we all have hardships. We all have things that blindside us. We all have curveballs in our life. But there's two things that we can always control, and it's our perception of that situation, how we're going to perceive it, and our reaction to it. And looking back over my life, I realized that I always chose to react in a positive way, to make it have that hardship or whatever you want to call it make me stronger, and use it to help other people. Because it's when we go through something, we're able to tell someone, hey, I've been there, I know what you're going through. Me, as someone who's passionate about helping people, that's really powerful. So I tried to keep that same perspective and say, okay, I know that God's going to use this part of my story to help people. I've got to figure out how to be better, like how to make this is just part of my life now. Where am I going to go from here? So went to Colorado, got really serious back into health coaching while I was working two jobs. I was working, this is when I first got into correctional health care. Worked in a jail in Colorado.
So the first time you went to prison?
Jail.
Okay, sorry.
Jail first.
Jail's first, and then followed by
then she graduated.
Yes. And I worked part-time in home health and took care of a little boy, and that was awesome. And I did cooking classes and health coaching in Colorado.
Okay.
And that's when my website was more active. Then I met my husband now at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when I was killing myself. Nurses don't get paid very good in Colorado. I was killing myself working so many hours and barely getting by. Mm-hmm. And an opportunity opened up at our prison here in our hometown. Mm-hmm. And my husband at the time was going back into the Air Force. My boyfriend at the time was was going back into the Air Force, and every door shut on him to get back in. He got a letter saying that he aged out by a week because his paperwork was sitting on someone's desk and they didn't sign it. And the next day got an offer to work at our prison here, to go to the academy, but they needed an answer in 24 hours. So this happened to be all in the weekend that I was visiting him in Santa Cruz. And I told him, I'm not moving anywhere for a man, right? Mm, I'm in my independent woman phase.
I've there done that. Yeah.
I've learned that lesson. It's fair.
So, long story short, I took the job at our prison here, mm-hmm. and moved back to be with family because it had been 10 years since I lived by my family.
Right, yeah. And the support is.
And he took a job with the same prison.
And I'll do it too. But we were very like, it's not for you. Right. It's for me.
Right. Is he originally from here too?
Yes.
Ah, small world.
See, yeah. So it all worked out in the end. Okay, so that was it. So that's interesting how you said that, you know, these experiences kind of, you perceive them and then you react to them certain ways. You know, where you are now today, looking back, those experiences, can you relate that mentality to your business? I mean, you have to, I mean, personal and professional, you kind of just became one.
Right? Absolutely. Like I said before, if you don't go through something and walk in someone else's shoes, you can never be able to say, I feel your pain. Mm-hmm. And for someone who is...
You can't be empathetic to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
And so because I have so many different experiences with death and divorce, like as weird
like
as that...
Sounds
I know,
movie?
Right? Yeah. You should write a book on this, yeah. Death and Divorce, Surviving It. I'm able to help so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had so many life lessons that have really caused me to have a unique perspective on life. And not worry about the little stuff and really be okay with dreaming big because I truly understand we have one life to live. Right. And so I'm able to help more people wrap their minds around why they need to start believing in themselves, why mm-hmm. they need to start pursuing their own passion. My goal is to empower other people to live their own dreams because if we don't have our health, then... You know, everything's a struggle. Parenting right. and yeah. being an yeah. entrepreneur is just a struggle.
Just sleeping's a struggle.
Sleeping is a struggle.
Yeah. I mean,
yes, agreed.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you moved back to Sonora, California, but moved
yes.
back home. You become a prison nurse.
Yes.
That
not a,
was
not so a many, prisoner.
A prison nurse.
Sorry.
Yes.
My wife's accent. It can come out different ways.
So how many years ago was that? 4 years ago?
So that was almost 5 years ago now. It was 2014. What year are we in?
Okay. 2018. So that's
2014.
About
four years ago.
Okay. So take us through how you got from becoming a prison nurse
mm-hmm.
4 years ago to
the health
to today.
Yeah.
So
to
for
to
those listening, Jessica just recently retired
yes.
from the prison. Mm-hmm. And
she got out of prison.
She got out of prison.
To pursue her life as
to do the Health Patriot full time. So
yes.
take us through that. How did you get from that to that?
So I actually oddly enjoyed my job when I started.
I think most people enjoy the job when they first start.
I guess so. Like
and
even
then,
in prison, yeah. Yeah, it's true. It was like it was just something new
and
I was around family, so that was nice. My dad actually worked in the same prison. He was a correctional officer
mm-hmm.
and he was only 32 when he passed away, which is so weird for me now to
right.
be close to his age. And a lot of the guys he worked with still were there. And so I had immediately like 40 dads everywhere. Right, yeah. So no one messed with me. And I got to hear really cool stories about him. But so I liked my job when I started. And I wasn't really doing anything with my blog because I was putting all my hours into my new job. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward a year, I got remarried. And then fast forward to having my first baby, and I, as pretty much I would imagine most moms struggle going back to work. Mm-hmm. I also was on bed rest for the last 10 weeks of my pregnancy, and that really jacked up my back really bad to where I couldn't get up. Like, I literally could not get up if I was laying down because it hurt so bad. I had no strength. And so after I had my first son, I went to the chiropractor, we did x-rays, and that's when I found out I had a moderate to severe degenerative disc in my lower back that I never knew about, and pregnancy exacerbated it because you're growing a human.
Right. Your body goes through a lot.
Through a lot, yes.
I've heard, I don't know. Yes. I've never experienced it, but I'm sure, yes.
Yes. So that was when I decided, because I asked my, you know, the doctor, what can I do? I'm very much solutions oriented and a fixer. Mm-hmm. And when they told me there's nothing really you can do, I said, you're wrong. Like, I'm sorry, but there's mm-hmm. something I can do. I'm not degenerating in my 20s, right, you know? Yeah. And so that's when I actually saw the before and after pictures of my business mentor and coach after she had had her baby. And she had like a rocking mom bod. And I'm like, I want that kind of mom bod, you know? And that was really how it all started. And I started learning about the potential in this platform of health coaching and helping people. And I was like, hey, I've always had a passion for this. I should start doing this again. And then I learned about the income potential if I really dug in. Mm-hmm. And that was when I started to be very consistent with it.
Mm-hmm. What's the benefits? I mean, as having a mentor or a business coach. I mean, a lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. Some people think, you know, why do I need that? Just let me figure out my own journey. I'll make my own mistakes. Right. You know, or, you know, some people live, they say, you know, I could not get where I am today without my business coach or my mm-hmm. life coach or whatever they have.
Right.
What kind of value do you put on a business coach? I mean, obviously it's shifted for you, everything for you.
Yeah.
So the value is, you know, great.
Huge.
Yeah.
I think for me personally, I don't have I've always had a very strong work ethic. And I think as an entrepreneur, to be successful, you have to. Mm-hmm. You have to learn that especially in the beginning, you're going to have to say no to some fun things because you have to get your business growing. Mm-hmm. For me, that part was never a struggle. It was the belief in what's possible was always a struggle for me. And I don't know why, but I never truly saw the potential. I saw these crazy successful entrepreneurs. And I feel like for a lot of us, when we're starting out, there's such a huge reality gap into, like, I see them and I hear them say they're nothing special and that mm-hmm. they started where I am, but it's hard to believe.
Right, yeah.
And so to have a coach tell me, like, I literally was, here's where I was, here's where I am, let me walk you through, you know, that transition. And I started believing more, like, wow, why her and not me? Mm-hmm. If they can do it, I can do it because I can work hard.
Mm-hmm. For those listening, how did you find a business coach? Where'd you find one?
So she's actually through the Beachbody platform, she is my business coach / she's the one who I saw the before and after pictures of. Mm-hmm. And so
that what you saw first that got you into Beachbody?
Yes.
Like you saw these pictures and you're like,
yes.
What the heck, lady?
Yeah.
And then you're like, I want to do that too.
Yeah. Okay. And I, this was my third time signing up with Beachbody. Oh, over wow. the matter. Like, I signed up in the very beginning when P90X came out. Mm-hmm. And I tried it and it was great, but I just never stuck with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, the Atkins diet. Oh, South Beach diet. Oh, right, yeah. I need to go vegan. Oh, paleo. Like, all of the... You know, I'm sure so many people can relate to that. Mm-hmm. You know, the chronic dieting and you it's like squirrel moments where you see like, oh, that works. Here's my answer. Mm-hmm. So this was my third time signing up with Beachbody, but it was different this time because I had a coach. I never had a business coach to help me before, mm-hmm. honestly. And I didn't really have a reason I now had a son that I didn't want someone else to raise. Now wanted to raise him.
Right, so, yeah. Kids are motivation.
That was big. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Their kids are motivation, and they're also little monsters.
Absolutely.
As you heard about 10 minutes ago. So they're locked in the back room now. You should see them when they come to the door. They're like, help me. Like, nope, stay back there. But all right, so now you're transitioning into this Beachbody world that you're going to use to catapult your health career, I guess, right? It is a great platform.
Mm-hmm.
The networking opportunities are amazing. The support is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that they give you, from what I've seen, is just, you know, it's as good as it can get.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can put your own spin on it, right. Kind of make it your own thing. And so, okay, so you're working in the prison. You started Beachbody because you saw the before and after photos and you're like, wow, rockin' mom bod.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do. So now you have your blogs, you know, you have your blog, you have your coaching, whatever. When did all of this come together into number one, health-patriot.com?
Mm-hmm.
When did that all come together? And also, where does Health Patriot come from? Because it's an extremely unique name.
Right.
Most people would be like, you know.
What does that mean?
Yeah. What? Huh? So just walk us through that real quick.
Yeah. So when I started, I decided I want to take this seriously. Also, I work in a prison. And so at the time, my website was jessicaaubreyrn.com. And I would put recipes and things every now and then on there. Well, now I worked in a prison. And now I was, at the time, married to my husband, who also worked in the same prison, and he had just got promoted to gang investigations, and so I needed my name off of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to come up with a business name, and I was brainstorming what's important to me, what do we value as a family, and we're very patriotic. And you know, my husband was in the Air Force, and all of our families, and so many people are in the military. And I looked up the definition of patriot, and I loved it because it was to protect, be prepared to protect your country against enemies, both foreign and domestic. And
there they are. That's my monster. Let me out of the room.
open the door.
So funny.
So I loved that, and I was trying to figure out how to correlate that with health. And I realized I am a health patriot. I truly. I'm like the happiest, like nicest person, but when it comes to protecting the people I care about, and you know, I'm like my mama bear comes out almost, and I really want to protect people's health and teach them how to fight for and protect their own health and the health of their family. And that's when Health Patriot came to my mind, and I was like, this is what we're going with.
Mm-hmm.
And it really resonated with me.
Right, that's good. I think names or branding in general, if you're passionate about it, makes it much easier just to do it and run with it. Okay, so now you've been at the prison for 4 years.
Yes.
Working in the prison.
Yes.
For 4-ish years. You've launched Health Patriot. Mm-hmm. You're on board with Beachbody.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the jump from your full-time job to being an entrepreneur is scary.
Yes.
I say that my jump from working for the federal government to not receiving a paycheck the next day was scarier than joining the service and separating from the service.
Hmm.
Those were very easy because it was like, this is the day you have to come because you have to. You made a commitment.
Right.
And then this next day is going to come because you decided the commitment ends and you're gone.
Right.
Now, okay, those were great. There was somebody involved there. Now this is my decision 100% to say to my wife, I'm not going to make any money tomorrow.
Right.
Like, that's it, right? You literally just, I mean, the courage behind just saying out loud, like, I'm going to quit my job tomorrow. And then actually going in to do it. I mean, there's all these different levels of courage you have to get through that. I mean, anybody can go in and quit, but what's your plan? Like, what are you going to do?
Right.
So, like, how did you feel? Like, what was this feeling you had when you were like, okay, I'm going to quit this job that supports my family, brings money in, you know, like, to pursue the healthpatriot.com? Like, what is, you know, what kind of feelings did you have? What was going through your mind?
Yeah. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And I felt crazy, but thankfully I have a very supportive husband. To put things in perspective, my paycheck always almost doubled his. because we get you get paid a crap load of money to work as a nurse in a state prison. And I had already been there for a couple of years, so I had had my raises, and I got a promotion. And I feel like, I know, just from working with state employees, you get sucked in for the benefits and the pay. And I always...
It's easy.
It is. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I was miserable. No. Like, I truly knew I was created with a passion to help people, and I was not helping people. And so I had to, you know, shift my perspective while I had to keep that job. To, okay, I'm here to help my coworkers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to help them with their health. That's how I had to, like, be there sanely. But it got to a point after I had my second son that I did not want to go back, and I was determined to make it work. And so I wasn't planning on quitting my job, though, honestly, when I went out on maternity leave with my second son. Mm-hmm. I spoke with my husband about it, and we, you know, mapped out financially what would we need to make with my health coaching business for me to step away, and we had a number in mind. I told my business coach, this is what I need to make. How can you help me get there? Which I think is another value of having a coach, because we don't know all the answers ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to be resourceful and get guidance. And we were actually... I was reading a book at the same time as my coach called Get Over Your Damn Self.
That's good.
Have you guys, I don't know if you guys have read that, but there's
I'm not getting over my damn
self. I could see that being a struggle. I'm just kidding.
I have a little bit of a problem.
I'm going to write it down. It's really good because there's a part in there that talks about if you're fearful of something, you need to run towards it. Mm-hmm. And what a shift, like what a mindset shift. And I was fearful of quitting my job because I was scared that my family was going to suffer. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that stable income was disappearing. And so I told my husband, this is the only thing that I can pinpoint that I'm scared of. I think I need to quit my job. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, he's like, okay, let's do it. You know, which I understand not every husband would be that on board. Mm-hmm. But I think that he, you know, it was important that we were on the same page, and he saw the potential in it too. Well, literally, I did that 2 months ago now, and still the process was very scary. Mm-hmm. But something shifted in my brain where I was like, okay, this has to be successful. Right. I will be as creative as I need to be, and as like do as many live videos as I need to, write as many blog posts as I need to, talk to as many people as I need to for this to be successful, because my family depends on it. Mm-hmm. And so the day that I made that decision, everything changed, and I literally almost doubled my income within a month, month and a half's time.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations, because you had you. That. Family's motivation, number one. The support of a spouse
is huge.
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 Like, I think a lot of people, when you look back at their successes, they always give credit where credit's due. And it's 9 times out of 10, the support that their spouse or their significant other, whatever they are, gave them in their transition. Because, you know, that's an investment on your husband.
Yeah.
To say, okay, yeah, you know what? I'm going to invest in you, your passion, your drive. Mm-hmm. Make it happen.
Right.
You know, and it's a little stressful.
Yeah.
You know, and it might not happen right away, but you've worked at this for so long. And like you said, you had the shift, you had the time, the energy, the drive, the potential.
Did it.
Health-patriot.com takes off, right?
Takes off.
So that's amazing. So congratulations on that leap. A lot of people don't get that opportunity to do that. And also a lot of people don't, like I said, have the support of their spouse to do that.
Before we close, can you give us a quick rundown of what exactly is Health Patriot today?
Yeah.
What do you offer?
So, I love education. I love educating people about their health because I didn't have that. And when I was super sick, I am what I was looking for, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly taking me 2 years of doing this to figure out how to make this me. I was listening to your guys' podcast from the first one, and I love how you guys have reinvented your own self, and because I think it's so important that we love what we do as entrepreneurs. And there were times in this health coaching journey of mine where I didn't truly love what I was doing. I loved the idea, but I was trying to be like other people. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't come as easy because I was trying to be like other people because it worked for them, but it wasn't me. And so I have actually shifted things in the last month since I quit my job. Mm-hmm. and I now offer monthly boot camps online, 100% online. And I have scheduled out a health topic that I'm educating about throughout the rest of the year. Wow. And so this one that we're in June is Clean Eating 101. How do you go grocery shopping? How do you read ingredient labels? What should you look for? Mm-hmm. How do you set up a meal plan? You know, basic things like that. What do you need to buy organic and what's okay to not buy organic? Mm-hmm. Things like that. Mm-hmm. Next month is going to be all about digestive health. How do you heal your digestive system? How do you prevent digestive issues? Because so many people struggle with that. Mm-hmm. The next month will be about hormone balance. And then, you know, through the rest of the year, I've got stress and relaxation techniques. And we're talking about natural energy, environmental toxins, things like that. But I've broken it up so it's not so overwhelming. Mm-hmm.
Right. And anybody can jump in at any time.
Yes, exactly. Right. And they will have all the resources that have been created in the past.
And so, when you say that, you know, within a month you doubled your income, mm-hmm. did you do that through, how did you monetize that? Is it through subscriptions for online customers? Is it through advertising? Do you have sponsors or mm-hmm. how did you map that out? How did that come about?
So one of my favorite parts about partnering with the Beachbody platform is that my clients don't actually pay me a penny. Mm-hmm. I get paid by a third-party company to teach people how to be successful in their health through using mm-hmm. Beachbody On Demand or drinking Shakeology, those types of things. So that struggle I had in the beginning, well, now I see my own value, which I didn't mm-hmm. in the beginning. I think that's super important as an entrepreneur to see your own value and worth.
It's one of the most difficult things to do.
Oh, so hard.
Put value on you.
Put a dollar sign yeah. on yeah. what you do. Yeah.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So while I'm better at that, I don't struggle with it anymore because I could spend an hour with someone and they're not paying me a penny. Instead, they're investing in the tools they need to get healthy. Mm-hmm. And so that is through Beachbody On Demand subscriptions where people can work out from home online. That's through drinking Shakeology, which is a superfood supplement. It's got over 70 superfoods in it, and that really helps them feel better. And it's basically like an Amazon link, kind of. You know, mm-hmm. people get a kickback.
Like an affiliated marketing type of thing?
Yeah. It's. I mean, it is the field of network marketing, and so there's a whole business strategy behind it as well. But, you know, and honestly, in the beginning, I was like, what most people think, like, this is a scam.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Pyramid scheme.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I started learning about the business plan, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is like anything. Like, you have a boss, and then you have managers, and you have employees, and it looks like a pyramid. Mm-hmm. But I run my own business, so if I don't work, I'm not going to get anything. Mm-hmm. But if I put in full-time hours, then absolutely I'm going to be successful. Mm-hmm. So, as far as the monetization, it also depends on me being my own business coach to my own people. If I find people that are like-minded and want to change the world with me, mm-hmm. then I just teach them this is how I was successful, and we both are successful that way. So, mm-hmm.
That's a great platform, I think.
Yeah,
it's been like amazing.
Anything else, you have to believe in it. Mm-hmm. You truly have to believe in what you do.
Right,
and you have to work hard.
And you have a team like to do it with, mm-hmm. which I think is important in any kind of entrepreneur. You have to talk with other entrepreneurs and learn from them and support each other.
I talk to myself.
I could see that.
They say you're not crazy. Yeah. If you don't answer yourself, you're not crazy.
He's a one-man pack.
Right. So no, but I would agree 100% with that. Having a team and somebody to talk to mm-hmm. is instrumental in your success. Mm-hmm. There was a long time where I was solo and I would come home and information dump on Onda mm-hmm. and she would just look at me like I was nuts.
Oh yeah.
And I'd say, well, I haven't talked to somebody for the last 9 hours. And she's like, boy. So a team, the fact yeah. that you're able to work with a team, support each other. I know you guys do video conferencing together, mm-hmm. early morning meetings, workout. I mean, you do everything together, mm-hmm. which is amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of reinvention.
Yeah.
However, yeah. it's all within the same field.
Yeah.
So from where I sit, what I'm hearing is you're your passion never changed. Right. The field remained the same, but timing wise, the investments you made in it just fluctuated. And that today, right, you are successful today because you had the right mindset. You right. reinvented your mindset.
Absolutely. And you kind of change as people change, you know, and with your own experiences. We mature. Yeah. Our needs change. Like when we were single, to own your own business would be very different than having a family. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I think it's easy in entrepreneurship too to get carried away and not have boundaries for yourself.
Oh gosh, yeah. That's and not pay yourself.
Huge struggle.
Focus is a
right? issue. Yeah. And efficiency. So, you know, that's a constant learning process in itself of having office hours, mm-hmm. you know, because you're not forced to go somewhere. So,
well, I think you have to, and it takes time to realize that yes. even though it's your own business and you're your own boss, it's a job right. mm-hmm. that you perform. You have to get paid for it.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the last things the entrepreneurs do is pay themselves.
Yes, so put everyone else first. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me know when I can get paid, please.
The All right, CFO Jessica. Will think about it and let yeah. you know.
Yes, my boss. When can I get paid? Please, I need some money. All right, Jessica, thank you very much for spending this time with us.
Thank you
for doing this with us twice.
Yes.
I'll figure this thing out sooner or later. If you want to learn more about Jessica and Health Patriot, you can visit www.health-patriot.com. You can also check her out on all social media handles. It's just at Health Patriot.
It's at health_patriot.
Health_patriot. The underscore is important.
It
Gotta
is.
Make sure you get that in there. So health_patriot. She puts out a lot of good content daily. One of the biggest reasons we brought her on the podcast for this whole reinvention theme was because she herself did a before and after photo. And the power of those before and after images, I can see why she wanted to jump in and help other people. Because if you see a before and after of Jessica, if you go to health_patriot on Instagram, you know, if you find yourself in a situation where you need to make a change, I think that the stuff that she's putting out there will help you.
Yeah.
It'll definitely give you some inspiration and let you know that you can make a difference, you can change. And if you just contact her, she can help you get through that. Get over the hump, you know.
Yep.
Take the first step.
Get over yourself.
Get over your damn self.
Right. Yeah.
Read that book.
Yeah. Read the book. Get over your damn self. I'll peruse it. all right, everybody. Thank you very much. Looking forward to talking to everybody next week. Again, that's health-patriot.com for Jessica. And thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to It's Not That Hard, our weekly podcast. If you can leave us a review and feedback, that would be great. Your feedback and reviews are what keep us going. Thanks.